Asifa on Shmuis.
Does that blow warm?
No.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Asifa. Okay,
fun. Fun. Fun.
These all take complimentary addition.
How are you going to get out of here? No, it's actually regular.
Okay, Pastor Shmuis is really introducing us to characters that are going to follow us through all the way till end of the Torah, which means that until now, although Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov have been fundamental in understanding how Klal Yisrael started and how Moshe Rabbeinu came into the picture, but really from this parasha on, all the way from Moshe by Yitro, by Midbar Devarim, is all focusing on characters that are actually going to follow us through all the way through the end of Torah Shebaal Peh, of the Chelik of the Torah part. Yeah, not Tanakh, but the Torah part, is really taking us through four-fifths of the Torah, basing ourselves on the characters introduced in this week's Sedra. And therefore to understand clearly who these people were, and what comes to try and teach us is probably an ikkar in understanding the rest of the Torah too. The parasha starts off, and the parasha says, "Vayomos Yosef v'chol echov v'chol hadoy hahu." Yosef died v'chol echov, all his brothers v'chol hadoy hahu, and all that generation. So the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says that the loshen is seemingly problematic. That's the Yomas Yosef. Yomas Kol Adorahu. What's the Yomas Yosef? V'chol Echov, V'chol Adorahu. Obviously, if it says the Yomas Yosef, it says the Yomas Kol Echov, including Yosef. And if you want to say V'chol Adorahu, includes the Echov and Yosef. So just say the Yomas Kol Adorahu. The whole boy died. What's the Yomas Yosef? V'chol Echov, V'chol Adorahu. It's seemingly superfluous. So the Chaim HaKadosh says, not this, he says, "Kol zman she'echem min ha'achim ha'yakayim," as long as one of the brothers were alive, "hoya ha'mitzriim mechabinis b'nei Yisrael," the Mitzriim respected Klal Yisrael. "Va'af kishehoya echem ma'hadoy ha'hu kayim," even when the other brothers died, but one of the doyer was kayim, "hoya chasubim b'nei Yisrael be'inehem, v'lo yehoya lehem ponim nishtabit behem," and even if one of the doyer, that generation was alive, still Klal Yisrael were respected in their eyes that they did not have the chutzpah to misabed them. And he carries on and he says like this. When Yosef died, the prophet should be learned as follows. The Yomas Yosef was one stage. The further stage was Chol Echov. And the third stage was Chol Adoy Hahu. The Yomas Yosef, when Yosef was alive, what changed was that beforehand Klal Yisrael were respected in the eyes of the Mitzrayim. They were respected. As long as Yosef was alive, they were respected because of Yosef. Now Yosef died. So now the brothers weren't expected, but weren't respected. They were equal. They were equal. Now, V'chol Echov, now that all the brothers died, they weren't even equal. They were a sub-level. They were a lower level to the rest of the Mitzrayim. However, they still did not dare antagonize them or hurt them in any way. However, V'chol Adoy Hahu, when a whole generation died, then they kicked into shibud. Then they started being misabed them. So really, there are three stages: the Yomas Yosef, V'chol Echov, V'chol Adorahu. Says Chaim Shmulevitz that Golos Mitzrayim is a Golos of mentality. Golos of Mitzrayim is a Golos of functioning within our limitations. Mitzrayim is from a Meitzar. Min a Meitzar Kirotikar. From you're stuck within a mind frame. You're stuck within a situation. That's Mitzrayim. And he says that this pasuk teaches us the elements of how we fall in levels of Kedusha and levels of Shmiras HaMitzvahs. We all know that there is two totally different frames of mind, two different schools of thought regarding how a person should view themselves in Torah. There is Slabotka and there is Nevadik. I think we've been through this in the past. Slabotka is the idea that a person has Gadlus HaOdom. Gadlus HaOdom. Gadlus HaOdom is the understanding that a person is great. And if a person is great, he must allow himself to slip. That's Slabotka. Slabotka is, part of Slabotka is Chevron. Chevron is, has a very, very big emphasis on dress, on dress, on dress. You go to Chevron Yeshiva, there's an emphasis, they encourage boys to dress nicely. You know, it smells nice too, but they encourage them to dress very nicely. It's an emphasis, it's an understanding that they're Tzura for Odom. You see the Rosh Hashiva is all impeccable. That's... Yeah. There's Tzura for Odom, which is Slabotka, and you get Nevaduk, which is Shiflus for Odom. Shiflus for Odom. Shiflus for Odom is Nevaduk, where people will do embarrassing things. They would learn Musa, have a whole Musa Vad in a coffee shop. So go and in the coffee shop, everyone else look at them and they'll start shaking over learning Musa. And then people will think they're crazy. And Taka, I'm crazy. If I'm so crazy, I need to bring you Shalom. Ah, how can I do Avedus? I'm so low. Avedus's got to help me. That was Nevaduk. Nevaduk is Gates of Yeshiva is a Nevaduk Shitta. I'm not sure whether it's still today they practice, but the Gates is a Nevaduk Yeshiva. It's based off of the Nevaduk. Gates are based off of the Nevaduk. Started by Nevadukas. But that's Chokhmas HaOdom. What's that?
That's the only tachlis is learning Musar in a...
No. That wasn't the tachlis. That was a sign of what they would do.
So what's like their...
Their derech is anova.
Okay.
Of anova, not allowing anybody to upset them because who are they anyway? That was Nevaduk. It's a very, very difficult shitter. But that's what they used to do. Now the Mir is a great... I mean, the Renoson Sri Finkel today is named after Renoson Tzvi of the Alter from Slabotka, his great-grandfather. Yeah? The Alter from Slabotka. So the Mir Mahalach, the Mir Derech, is at Slabotka Baderech, and Chaim Shmulevitz expresses this the best in this week's parasha, in this particular pasuk. He explains the whole Mahalach of Shiflus Odom and Gadlus Odom in this parasha. He says that this pasuk teaches us, by Yomas Yosef, this pasuk teaches us, this Perik Aleph pasuk Vav, teaches us the whole concept of Gadlus HaOdom. He says the Mitzrayim were horrendous people. They were atrocious. The way they treated slaves, foreigners, was a way that it was, you can't imagine the depth that the slaves were pushed to the torture they went through as a norm. That was a norm. And here we have a whole bunch of foreigners coming in, not only some foreigners, but foreigners that are total atheists, who work in eating their gods, which are totally against the whole belief system, and they come in and they're not touched. Not only are they not touched when Yosef's around, they're not even touched when the brothers are around. Not when the brothers are around, but in any person of that doyer that came to Mitzrayim at that time, they'd never touched Klal Yisrael. As soon as they died, what about your feathers? Okay. Kashrut. It means anyone from that way. Okay. Yecheved ben Achaymus. Yecheved ben Achaymus. Yisrusbol ben Achaymus. And.
She's a girl.
No, because she wasn't. No, she didn't come down from the sand. She was born ben Achaymus.
Yeah,
means people who are in that way who came to Mitzrayim. Came to Mitzrayim. Okay. You can rely on the Mishnah there of Oichel Gufoy and Shulchanei B'Toich Beisoy. Okay, so that's the Pshat. Says the Chaim Shmulevitz, that's exactly the same with the Yetzer Hara. Why did they not dare touch Klal Yisrael? Because Klal Yisrael were looked at by the Mitzrayim as being great, and they felt something. They felt that they're connected to Godless. They felt that they're connected to royalty, and therefore their self-esteem was so strong that for them to be brought in to be slaves was so foreign to them, was so absurd to them, there's no way they could be mishabed them. Of course they wanted to be mishabed them. Of course they wanted to bring them into slavery. But there's no way you can make somebody a slave if he doesn't feel like a slave. There's no way you can bring somebody down from that level if he's totally, that doesn't know what he's talking about. You call him to come to the place where to register to be a slave. He's got the wrong address. I'm not a slave. There's no way you're talking about me. Rahman al-Islam, in the times of the Germans, the way that they made warfare against Klal Yisrael was not the fact that they merely hounded them out and killed them. It was a psychological warfare that started years back with the Nuremberg laws, that they actually made Jews feel like a subculture. They proved it scientifically that Jews are a subculture. They took away their rights, they took away their business rights, they took away where they live and where they can talk and where they can eat and where everything else. And eventually you actually felt so low and so degraded that even if you could have 500 Jews and only one German guard with a machine gun, the Jews just felt so low that there's no way they can even come anywhere close to this German guard and attack him, because psychologically they felt so low and so miserable and so degraded, they never had the self-esteem to actually stand up and fight. Fact. Look into it. No, it's fact. They just felt degraded. That was a whole psychological warfare. Yad Vashem, okay, I'll talk about Yad Vashem later. Yad Vashem is just a political Zionist ploy to show why it's worth to kill 6 million Jews just to get the government. It's totally secular, anti-Jew, anti-religious. Anyway, weiter. So the idea of this is as follows: that Klal Yisrael were not touched because of their self-esteem, because they knew who they were. Says the Chaim from Levitz, that's exactly the same as the Yetzer Hara. If a person knows that they are a godel, if a person knows that they are great, that Bnei Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, that they are Ben Yochai to Rabbeinu Shleilam, that they're loved by Rabbeinu Shleilam, there's no way they can do aveiros that are degrading. There's no way they can allow themselves to slip. There's no way. What is a Kohen Gadol going to do in a Beis HaKavaros? How can I go to such a place? How can I say such a thing? How can I eat such things? I'm a Yeshiva Bracha. I'm an Eved Hashem. I'm a Ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can you do such a thing? That's Gadol Shadom. And if a person was aware that even in Mitzrayim they never had a Koyach to be Meshabed them, Kal V'Chomer that Yetzer Hara will not have a Koyach to be Meshabed the person if they know where they're standing within their own eyes. That's the Koyach of Gadol Shadom. And he says that's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that there are two ways that will be Ma'ayim Etzer Edim, that they'll frighten the Edim for making sure they're not getting Edus Sheker. One way the Gemara says was that they'll say to the Edim that you should know that Odom Nivra Yechidi. Odom Nivra Yechidi, a person is born single, and therefore a person the Olam here Odom Loima Roger Loima Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. The world is created as one. That's one way of understanding it, which means that in order to stop the Edim from lying and chas v'shalom killing somebody when they don't deserve it and doing that terrible avera, they tell them, how can you do such a thing? You're Ben Yochid. You're Nivra Yechidi. Mishvili Nivra Olam. You're such a special person. How can you allow yourself to fall? How can you allow yourself to do such a degrading act? That's one way of stopping the Edim doing an avera. Alternatively, the Gemara says that Gadlus Sa'odom is such that even if a person himself does not feel within himself a self-worth, but how can I allow myself to be so embarrassed if I get caught? That's another way of dealing with it. If I get caught, imagine there's a photographer just happens to be passing by, filming the scene, yeah, and I'm going to be put now on every paper in Israel, front page of every paper in Israel in that particular situation. I know I had one in Lockerbie. Lockerbie was a time when a Libyan conspiracy downed a Pan Am plane. Yeah. Pan Am plane over Scotland. And it blew up. Everyone knows, no survivors. And some bored Yeshiva Bokhrim from Gateshead went to the scene. It wasn't fast, but 45 minutes drive from Gateshead. So the caught one boy, you know, who was walking along. The whole thing was cordoned off. And they caught him and he said, you know, what are you doing here? So he very calmly says, I'm a survivor, I'm looking for my pyjamas. Yeah, but this guy, yeah, the police didn't believe him for some reason, and he was put on television within the whole scene. And later on, the Mashgiach and Matisyahu got phone calls, what's he gay to see the Bokhrim doing there? He never knew he was on the scene, but he was on BBC, everyone recognized him, the Busha, right? He said, that's the idea over there, of Gadlus Sa'odom is, imagine people catch you, is it worth it? You know, people think they get away with it. How does the world today remember Bill Clinton? Yeah, Bill Clinton, he was a genius. The guy was a genius. He was a very brave man, a very clever person. And how do people remember Bill Clinton? You're a little snicker. Yeah? Like what? Sugar, crazy. That's kind of odd. How can a person allow themselves to do such a thing? Even if there's never been a shalom, kaf shalom. But poshut, you know, it's embarrassing. And that's why the Gemara says later on that they say to him, it says Rashi, you should know that even people who are hiring you to lie about this person also think that he's very low. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says. Sadu shakra a ugrayu zila. Sadu shakra a ugrayu zila, which means people who are higher, Edu Sheker, hold that you're very low, and that even though people who are hiring you think you're a bunch of idiots, and therefore why are you lying for them? In other words, don't allow yourself to fall in the level where even people think you're crazy, and that's gadlus ha'odom. Gadlus ha'odom is even if a person not Yirei Shamayim, but people know who I am. I look like a frum yid. You can't fool people. I look like a frum yid. Even if you know people think that if you take the couples off chassidus and go to places, nobody will think they're Jews. People know they talk behind your back. You're spazoyin. What's the kind of doing the basic kavaras? And gadlus ha'odom, you stand up there and you know who you are and where you are. That's going to save a person. The Yetzer Hara cannot have any cycles to a person if they have gadlus ha'odom. Self-esteem issues are the biggest cause of failure in anything in all the way through. And I've got to deal with them. In a very, very methodical way. But the most important way is understanding what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says that who is a person who is respected, a person who respects others. Not a person who's a big Talmud Chacham or Tzaddik. If you start looking out to other people and respecting other people and seeing the good in other people, you start respecting yourself. Midah k'neged midah. You start appreciating other people, you start appreciating yourself. It's very often people who have problems with other people, that's a vicious circle. Then you have problems with yourself, you know, reading up. You got to start appreciating other people, then you start appreciating yourself. That's the pasuk for Yom HaShiyot V'cholech V'cholad Rahu, and he goes into Barichas there, Ayin Shon Mesichas Musa, this week's parsha, a very, very interesting part. But the Gadlus HaOdom is something which is an unbelievable tool. Pasuk to feel that you're above everyone else. You're above. Like what the Talbot said last week. Yeah, they're donkeys. And people got upset about it because they associate themselves still with donkeys. And they feel they're still one of them. And therefore you're really upsetting the cart because I'm a donkey as well, because I associate myself with them. They're calling me a donkey. No, we're not. We're not like the goyim. We're not even Rahman Islam like a lot of Frayid and Prok Hashem. We've been a Torah. And therefore we've got to keep the level of being a Ben Torah. The prophet carries on and the prophet says, yeah.
It also counts for an external offence to come in. Do you should still have the self-esteem to
overcome it? Sure. So imagine a person just wins the fellow wins the pool. Yeah, wins £5 million, and then somebody was nasty to him on the way out. Yeah, somebody pushed him on the way out. As he's about to get it, somebody just pushed in and it went past him. Would it affect him? Would it bother him? I'm a millionaire, what do I care? This guy gave me a push. I'm a millionaire, fantastic. If a person who doesn't feel like they're a millionaire, then they take things personally and they get upset. That's a problem. If you feel you're a millionaire, that you're Ben Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, that you're Ben Torah, that you're connected to the real Ribbono Shel Olam, we know what we're doing. That's serious. It's unbelievable. That's serious. The pasuk says, "Vayigdal hayeled." A parasha later on, Peretz Beis pasuk yud, "Vayigdal hayeled vativeil vas paroi, vayhi lo leben." The Yered grew up, the born of the Bas Paro, and he was to her like a son. And she called him Moshe. And she said, because I drew him from the water. Now this is a very, very strange pasuk. Firstly, Moshe Rabbeinu had seven names. What was his name? Other names? Avigdor, Tuvia, had many different names. What's the other name? Tuvia?
Moses.
What's that? The Gemara said he had seven names. I'm sorry? No, that's a royal chayv of Yitzhak, that's later on. But Moshe Rabbeinu had seven names. Rashi brings it, I'm not sure where. Moshe Rabbeinu had seven names. Now the idea is over here. The Gemara says over here that Moshe Rabbeinu was called Moshe, which means all the way through the parasha, although Moshe Rabbeinu was called Avigdor, he's the Avi of Klal Yisrael, he brought down Torah from Sinai, everything else, Moshe Rabbeinu was called all the way through the Torah, Moshe. By Rabbi Yisrael he's called Moshe, Moshe. All the way through he's called Moshe. Torah Tzivolano Moshe, all the way through he's called Moshe. Which means Moshe was a name that was chosen above every other name, because it happened to be that he was saved from water. More than other names that actually describe what he did for Klal Yisrael. Bringing down the Torah, bringing them from the Mon, helping them through. Which means, why is the name Moshe, the fact that he's brought from water, the name chosen by Bishya Bas Paroi, not even by his own mother? Why is that name chosen above every other name to be the one that's going to be the name for Moshe? Next kasha. The prophet says, "Vayibi yomim ha'heim, vayigdal Moshe." If you look in the last prophet, "Vayigdal ha'yeled," the yeled grew up, and the next prophet says, "Vayigdal Moshe," and Moshe grew up. Why is it changed from "Vayigdal ha'yeled" to "Vayigdal Moshe"? So, prophet sat now, he's called Moshe because the last prophet says, "Minamay Mishisihu." But why say, "Vayigdal, vayigdal"? What's his two lashonos? "Vayigdal ha'yeled," "Vayigdal Moshe." Vayetzel Echol, he went to his brothers, Vayabit, Yivloit, and Vayah, Ishmitzi, Maki, Ish, Ivri, Me'ochiv. Says the Ramban, that if Vayigdal is referring to two different states of growth. Vayigdal Hayeled is talking about the physical state of growth of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the second Vayigdal is referring to the spiritual growth of Moshe Rabbeinu. The first Vayigdal is referring to, he just grew up in age. The second one is showing us how Moshe actually developed into being somebody great. Vayigdal Moshe, how did Moshe develop? How did we see that Moshe was great? Vayetzel Ochiv. He went out to his brothers, Vayabis Yivloiton, and he saw them suffering. That is when Moshe became great. Not before. The fact that Moshe lit up the whole house, very nice. Moshe Rabbeinu was a super child, very nice. But that wasn't greatness. Greatness was Vayigdal Moshe. Vayetzel Echov. He went to his brothers, Vayabis Yivloiton. That's Vayigdal Hayele. That's when Moshe became great. That's when he became a Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is living in a lap of comfort. He's living in a palace of Paroi, being brought up, you know, glut kosher food every day, brought on a silver tray. Unbelievable what he had there. Unbelievable. The new is Jewish because Miriam had to make sure they had to take her Ephraim Menachem from Israel. He was born with a bris. What's that?
Yeah.
He was born with a bris. But Moshe Rabbeinu was living in a lap of comfort, and what did he do? He wasn't happy. He wasn't happy. He wasn't happy in his comfort zone. He went out to see how he can help his brothers. Why? Why stick your neck out? Because that's a godel. But Yigdal Moshe, Moshe became Moshe by sticking his neck out for Klal Yisrael. And when you go out, Vayah B'Shiv Leisom, and he saw B'Shiv Leisom. Fine! See B'Shiv Leisom, help them. Wasn't enough for him. Vayah Ish Mitzri Maki Ish Ivri Me'echov. He saw a goy attacking a yid. He sent him in the fires, and he killed the goy. Why? Because he couldn't bear seeing a goy attacking yid. Okay, maybe a goy attacking yid is bad enough. But even later on, he said, no, that's not enough. He said later on, he saw even two Jews fighting. A goy attacking a yid. Okay, you understand, he's got Jewish roots, he doesn't want that to happen. But two Jews fighting, then a fight. No, even that annoys him. Even that affects him. But he sees two Jews fighting, I'm responsible to make sure the fight falls apart. And you see over there, and later on, not only did you see not two a yid attacking a goy attacking a yid, and not even two goyim attacking each other, but later on he even saved goyim from goyim. He saved the daughters of Yisroi from the other Reyatsoi. And that's where you see a person who has the qualities of feeling responsibility and not allowing somebody to suffer. That's Vayigdal. That's greatness. Yeah.
Did that same with the kind of portion of the tibor over there constitute portion of the tibor? Maybe times of otherwise you won't be
Absolutely, absolutely. But it's more than that. It's not he wasn't Purish from that Sibyl. He didn't separate himself. He is automatically separated, and he stuck his neck out to be connected. Rishima Scott says in his introduction to Sarayasa, he says like this. He says that a child is born very self-centered. Any parent knows that a child doesn't care very much about the parents. 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning makes no difference at all to the child. He's not going to keep quiet just because the parents are sleeping. In fact, you know, I've got a theory that children actually know when you're falling asleep, and then they wake you up. Or they pretend to be asleep, and as you're about to fall asleep, as you've got your foot in bed, they start whimpering. Yeah, it's clear that they know when you're about to fall asleep. So, children are born very self-centered. A toddler gets a little bit older, and he begins, you know, when you see your child actually first time sharing a toy, it's a massive stage. You see a child sharing a toy with another child, it's a very, very unbelievable stage. It means the child actually appreciates that it's somebody else who's also entitled to something. It's a whole new focus. There's somebody else in the world besides myself. That's a child when he's growing up. And it grows up even more, and you actually begin to feel even less self-centered. I don't know, teenagers, I think, they slip back into the pre-toddler stage. But a lot of people say, you know, when you see teenagers, understand why some mammals eat their young. But that is the stage of, they slip back to self-centeredness. But again, as you grow up, as you develop, you go into marriage, hopefully, you go into marriage with a less self-centered state. And as you develop, you become a parent yourself, you're more and more given over to given over to the friends and society around you. That's growing up. Ask the Shimon Scott, but how do we do it? We have a pull and a push. A person looks after themselves, that's number one. I've got to look after myself. Number two, I've got to care for other people. How do I get round not caring for myself and caring for other people? How do I get round this problem? So he brings a mimer in Pirkei Avos, who says, Imanila atzmi moani. Kisanila atzmi moani. If I am for myself, who am I? So Pashtus is translated, if I am myself without connecting myself to a group, I'm nothing. He said, no. Kisanila atzmi moani means, if I think the only person in the world is myself, who am I? If I am so self-centered, Kisanila atzmi, that I am just only person who survives in the world, only person important to the world is myself, moani. I'm worth nothing. I'm nothing. That's moani. So he says that the greatness of a great person is by extending the oni to other people. Which means you can't possibly fight the fact that you are the most important person. But what you can do is spread yourself over other people, which means bring more people into who you are. A person starts off life a baby with nothing. You get married. The ani now is not only me. Ani now is my wife and myself. I am ani. And therefore I care for my wife as well. And then my children are ani. And then my grandchildren are ani. And that's how you can make everyone else within your ani. The greater a person is, the more people are involved in that ani. The more people are involved in who am I. That's the Yigdal HaYelet. The Yigdal HaYelet is appreciating that it's not me doing something for you, it's me doing something for me because you and me too. That comes with Avos Yisrael. That comes with appreciation that every part of Klal Yisrael is Chelek, or Lekai Mimal, and we're all part of one. That's the Yigdal HaYelet. In 1905, there was a terrible fire in Brisk, and Reb Chaim Brisk saw how many people Nebuch were burnt, their houses were burnt, and they were living in Ezes Noshim. And people were giving them money, helping them rehabilitate themselves, but it wasn't enough. Reb Chaim Brisk moved out of his house and slept with everybody else in Ezes Noshim. And he said, the next time I'm going to sleep in my own bed, and everyone else has their own bed too. And the world saw that Reb Chaim Brisk was sleeping in the Ezes Noshim. Emergency funds came from all over the world and helped everyone get back in, and they were okay. That's a godel. Yigdal HaYelet, that's a godel. A person actually feels something. Actually feels the needs of Klal Yisrael are his own needs. When a person is born, a baby's hands are clenched. Baby's hands are clenched. Whenever a person dies, the minhag is to open up their hands. to open up their hands. The idea of life is to take oneself from the clenched stage to the open stage. To take "it's all mine" to the open stage where it's all yours. That is the idea of life. That's the Yigdal HaYel. That's how you become great. And that's a parasha later on. The parasha says, amazing vort. It says in the Balat Turim, it says in Perek Beis Posuk, Perek Beis Posuk Vav, the Moshe Rabbeinu was on the Ya'ir, Moshe Rabbeinu was on the river, it says over there that Tehid Vasparish, she went out to Lurkis on the Ya'ir, to the Gaelus, wherever it was, and it says that Tiftach V'te'erha, she opened up and she saw Esa Yeled V'hinei Nar Boicher, and she saw the Nar Boicher. Says the Balat Turim, what's V'hinei Nar Boicher? What is that? Is that Aroin? Now boicher the gematria is the Aaron HaKohen. So now boicher, we translate now boicher means she saw. Now boicher was koilo kenara. She says his coil, i.e. Moshe Rabbeinu's coil, was out of an hour. Which a lot of the first of the problem is because it's actually a mum to have a voice. A child to have a voice of an hour is a mum. How can you say a godless daughter has a mum? But koilo kenara. Okay, that's later on. That's later on. But Koyle Kenar, they say, is Pshat, that V'inen Nar Boicher was Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen, now listen to this beautiful Pshat. But Tiftach Vatireis HaYeled V'inen Nar Boicher. She opened up and saw the Yeled. Who's the Yeled? Moshe Rabbeinu. V'inen Nar Boicher. And behold, the Nar is Boicher. Who's the Nar? Aaron HaKohen. Which means Aaron HaKohen is standing there crying, seeing Moshe Rabbeinu being put on the water. V'tachmol Olav, and she had Rachmanus on him. She had pity on him. Vatoyman, she says, Meyalde her Ivrin there. This child is an Ivri. How did she know? Say the Bali Musa, that if one Jew is in trouble, and another person, if one person is in trouble, and the other person is standing on the side there crying for that other person, that must be a Jew.
She wasn't only 3 years old.
She knew.
She had crying.
What's that?
She knew that she was looking at Moshe crying, but she was hearing something.
She saw somebody else crying. She saw Moshe.
She saw Aaron crying.
And the fact that she saw Moshe Rabbeinu there suffering and somebody else crying, she said, "The Nar Ivri is a Jew." That must be a Jew. Only Jews can cry when somebody else is in trouble. You know the famous thing they say, that you have taxi drivers in New York who keep a couple in the glove compartment. Whenever they break down, they have a proper on their head. And that way they're sure that people are going to stop and help them change the tire. Yeah? And it's a well-known thing. when a guy's at 7 foot flat, so it makes things a little bit more complicated. But, put a couple on his head. But the Maestro, that's what... But they do that. But in an Arboichem, which means if somebody is saved, if somebody is crying because somebody else is suffering, Pin in Arboichem, that's a stamp of Klal Yisrael.
I wasn't Aaron 3 years old.
Yeah?
So... The 3-year-old crying, is it the same?
Could be. But the fact is that he's watching that somebody else is crying. Aaron wasn't in pain. Maybe even bigger, even greater. If it's an older person, you understand the emotional pain. Aaron Cohen is look how young he was and he's still crying for somebody else. That's an amazing story for this. In Atarot. In Atarot. In Sagot. In Sagot, Sagot is a neighborhood. Where's Sagot? It's right in Stachim somewhere. It's in Stachim somewhere, I'm not sure exactly where, not far from Shalim, as far as I know. There was a bar mitzvah of a boy, and he stood up, his whole family were there, his rebbes were there, his class was there, and he stood up and he gave a beautiful drasha, and then he finished. He said, "I want to say something that I wasn't taught. I want to say a few words of myself." And he said that this is between me and Hashem, and if anyone else listens, they're entitled to listen, but it's a drasha now to Hashem. He said every new member of a club is entitled to extra points. You know, you join a frequent flyers club, they give you 50 points to start you off. You start with a calling club, you have a calling card, give you 50 free points to start you off. membership in it, and it always gives you a few points to start you off. He said, Rabbi Shalom, I'm starting a new club. I have a new club member. I'm a member of Klal Yisrael now with Chai B'Mitzvahs. I'm a new club member. And if a club member is entitled to a certain amount of points, Hashem, I want some points too. I want some schuyot too. I want you to help me with this. He said, I have a boy in my class whose mother and father were killed in a terrorist attack. Terrorist attack. And they're never gonna, he's never going to have his parents at his bar mitzvah. Rabbeinu Shalom, please, give him somebody who's going to teach him the bar mitzvah sedra like a father teaches his son the bar mitzvah sedra. Please, Hashem, please give him somebody who's going to love him enough, who's going to take him to the shop and buy him a suit and a tie and a hat that actually has the same love and patience like a mother has. Rabbeinu Shalom, please let people come to his bar mitzvah and not have pity on him, but actually appreciate him for who he is. And he carried on. And he carried on, just focusing on his poor bar mitzvah boy's pain. This child grew up. That child grew up. That child's a godel. That child, in that time of his bar mitzvah, he showed that he was entitled to be part of a godel. He became from a cotton into a godel. The godless of Klal Yisrael is a fact that we look out for other people. The godless of Klal Yisrael is a fact that you look in the gemachim, you look in. It's an unbelievable thing. You look in the gemachim. Take a Madrich Haredi, telephone directory. You have about a sixth of the book, the big thick book. The sixth of the book is gemachim. You have medicine gemach, mezuzah gemach, tefillin gemach, lost babies gemach. I'm serious. People lost a child. The phone fell out, and all the lost kids are there. Drasha's gemach. Yeah, look, stuck for drasha. Guy, send you a drasha.
Really?
Yeah. The work. my number's on there.
Oh, there's over 1,000
It's unbelievable. Can you imagine this in you open up anywhere? Yeah? In I don't know, in Miami, do they have that? Do they have that free loan gemach in the front of Miami? No, I don't think. Yeah, you know, do they have it in London, in sort of the Yellow Pages, the Thompson's directory? Yeah? Yeah, who thinks of such a thing? That's Klal Yisrael. It's unbelievable. But that's where you dealt. The greater you are and care about other people, that's how great you are. And that's why the Pasha says that why was Moshe Rabbeinu called Moshe? Because Moshe's whole essence came from a Maisa Chesed. She could have just left him there. And whatever happened. No. Ki min amayim mishisihu, Moshe Rabbeinu's life was saved through a Maisa Chesed. That name, every single time Moshe Rabbeinu hears his name being called, he remembers, hey, I'm only alive through Chesed. I'm only who I am because somebody had Rachmanos on me. Any Torah that I learn is going to be done a Torah based on Chesed. It's got to be make sure that when I learn Torah, the Torah is done in order to help other people. And we are helping other people through doing Torah, but not be so absorbed that when something has to be done in the yeshiva or done at home, I'm sorry, I'm learning now. That's the idea of Chesed. That's the idea of Moshe. That his very existence was only through Chesed. That's why Moshe ben Zafka called Moshe. Ki min amayim mishisihu. The fact that Moshe did great things was fantastic. But the message is that only he became great and he only existed because of Chesed. Any prayer he gives over, it has to be based on the basis of Chesed. That's min amayim mishisihu. Why Zafka on that particular name? He's saved from the water. He's taken from the water. He would be just floating around there indefinitely.
That was
taken there and cared for her by cared by her. Yeah.
What was her reward?
She had tremendous reward. She married Kolev Ben Yifune. Kolev's other wife was Miriam. Married Kolev Ben Yifune. She had tremendous children. I mean. She got it all the way up there.
Could it also be that she was called Dafka after his point of weakness? That means we should all follow the Navadic way of
his weakness.
Yeah, why the water. In the future, he was in a tin, you know,
in a mine which you see.
Therefore, we should all follow the Navadic way of
water. We're with Slobodka here. With Slobodka. With the mirrors. Okay. I'll just. Oh, yeah. But doesn't have to concentrate. Doesn't have to put on his whole life on fashion. No, you're right. You can get carried away with anything. You know that. You can get carried away with anything you do. You can get carried away. You can get carried away with Torah and completely ignore everything else. You can get carried away with Chesed and ignore everything else. Yeah, the Chofetz Chaim says you got to be three things: klug, frum, and good. Clever, frum, and good. So just klug, just clever is a professor. Just frum is a galach, is a priest, and just good is a prostitute. That's what he says. Just ein klug, frum, and good. Not frum is a professor. Not good is a galach, or not good is a zayna. That's what he says. So always, trying to bring other people in, trying to give other people pleasure. That's not good. That's not good. Everyone's got to be so careful. It's got to be a balance of everything. But it's the focus of what it should be. James Hume was a you ever heard of him? Who was he?
James Hume
was a speechwriter for President Reagan. He said over once that a young recruit came to the army, and he was being interviewed by the army. And so the sergeant asked him, and he's giving him an interview. He said to him, did you have a full 6 years of grade school education? So he says, yes, I graduated with honors from school, went to Yale and received a college degree there, did grad work at Columbia University, and received doctorate in political science in Harvard. So the sergeant turned around and says to his stenographer, tick the box that says literal. Literate, yeah? Tick the box that says literate. Which means, the fact he's so educated, big deal. A soldier's going to be a person who is careful about other people, who's worried about other people, going to be a leader, who cares about how other people are following orders. That's what's important. His education is fantastic. Not going to help him to be a soldier. That's a gobble. So one more thought I want to say very briefly is the thought I actually put up on the site this week is in Perik Aleph, Pasuk Tes Vav. Vayomer Melech Mitzrayim Mi'alda Tev Rios Asher Shem Ha'achas Shifra V'Shem Ha'Shenis Pua. One is called Shifra and one is called Pua. Now you all know the kriches of names. You all know how important it is to name a person the correct name, because it actually can have effect on the person. And here we're talking about Shifra and Pua. We never ever find again Shifra and Pua to disappear from the scene. Who is Shifra and Pua? Without Rashi you wouldn't even know. It says Rashi, who is Shifra and Pua? Shifra is Yecheved. Why? Why the name Shifra? Our shame shum is Shaperes Es Havlad. She used to beautify the child, to clean the child up, write his nose, whatever it was. Pua is Miriam. Our shame shum Pua umedaberes v'hoigel Havlad. She used to speak to the children. Kedara chanosim and feisis tina kaboiche. Yeah, parents, mothers do the most crazy things to quieten down children when they're crying. Or putting all funny noises and clucking and jumping up and down. That was Miriam. Now, who was Yecheved and Miriam? Who was Yecheved and Miriam? Yecheved and Miriam were both had nevuah at different stages. Unbelievably great women. The mother and sister of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yecheved had nevuah, it's brought down in Medrash, had nevuah at different stages. Yeah, I'm not going into this. I'm not sure exactly where. It's brought down in Medrash, both were nevuim. Miriam is clear where she was a Navi. But Moshe Rabbeinu's mother, yeah? What they're called? They're called, in other words, these mothers are called, you know, you're calling Miriam, and Yecheved, you're calling pretty, you can make child pretty, and clacker. Pretty and clacker. One is called pretty, one is called clacker. Was that a way to introduce Yecheved and Miriam? Yecheved and Miriam, when Mamish had Nevuah, the mother and sister Moshe Rabbeinu, called pretty and clacker. I mean, that's ridiculous. So Balaam would say something very, very powerful. They say that of course they were a Navi. Of course they were. But it doesn't mean that they lost, and a little bit different to what had on the tips in the world, it doesn't mean that because they were so great, they had to lose who they were. It doesn't mean just because a person's on a high level, they've got to completely disconnect with their personal emotions, with a human touch. With a human touch, of course they're a Navi. They're a Navi, but it doesn't mean it has to disconnect with a human touch. It doesn't have to be so disconnected that you're not sweet to children. You get people who are so involved in the Gemara that you don't even see children bechlal. So Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Snatsuski, tells me that when he used to cross from come inside his courtyard where he lived, he used to take him somewhere 10 or 15 minutes. He'd go to each child and look at the child, wipe their nose, and do the laces for them. He had a human touch. Which means, of course, they were great, but they still had the human touch. They're still motherly. Now, boys, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something sometimes shocking. But our yeshiva stands for something that a lot of other places don't focus on. And that is normality. Normality. Just because a person's a Baal Teshuva does not mean that everything they've ever done in the past is trace. And that you completely have to bury who you were, change your name immediately, change your clothes immediately, disconnect from your friends and family, have nothing to do with any part of your society, take all your books and your degree papers with your little stamps on, burn them all, and become mamish from Harvey to Chaim Yaakov, yeah, and wear the biggest couple you could possibly wear, hopefully turn Chassidus to be really successful and live in Tzfas. That is not Yiddishkeit. The Baal Shem doesn't need that. That's not what it's all about. It's to be normal. It means even if you're a Navi, even if you're a Navor, you had Navor, big deal, you can still be sweet to kids. You can still be sweet to kids. You can still be a mother. You can still be a human being. You have to do a totally disconnect. And people burn their guitar because, you know, I'm a Shiva Bracha now. It's ridiculous. Hashem gave you a skill to use a guitar. Use a guitar for something else. Enjoy yourself. Make yourself happy with it. That is the idea over here. Now, of course, there'll be a mirror in your chevet. But the Torah introduces them as being normal people. Yeah, it's a chiddush. You know, it's a chiddush. You think it's normal. Yeah, they've got to be normal. That's one understanding over here. That it's just possible. They're normal people. They related with people normally. They had a good time with people. Who was it? Dina Bramsky, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha, was a genius. A genius. He was at Av Basin of London. He got smich, I think, at 18 years old. From the Brisk, from Chaim Brisk and Chaim Ozinski, brilliant man. His form he's written on the Shiltus. You can't imagine the Galenus, an untouched work. And he worked on the Shiltus and he wrote a Perish on it, on the Brighter. He worked for the Brighter. Unbelievable, a genius. And he's walking once back from Beit Vegan. He moved to Beit Vegan. He started off the Grass Shul there. He was living in Beit Vegan, and he saw a child crying. And he said, he went over to her and he bent down and said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Because a little girl of 6 or 7, he said, "You know why? Because I got a new dress and my friend said it's not pretty." Chaim Brisk said, Rabbi said to him, "Of course it's pretty. It's the most pretty dress I've ever seen. And tell your friends that Rabbi Abramsky said it's a very pretty dress." Other people, mom is so involved in everything else, I don't even notice people crying. That's a godel. He's held the head of the shoulders, of course it was, but it doesn't mean he's not shifra and poor. It doesn't mean he doesn't have to connect with other people, he's so holy. That's the idea of shifra and poor. That's the idea of poshut, caring, not connecting yourself in society and a state. That of course you've got to disconnect with the bad elements. But you're still part of the world, you're still part of the fabric of helping people, worrying about people, caring about people, being normal, relating to people. That is Yiddishkeit. And without that, there's plenty of people never could drop off the edges. Bring us to help us, which understand. Hashem's brought us all in from the water. We're all in from the water. There's a lot, big ocean out there. We've all been brought in by the water through some kind of chesed. That the chesed should continue. We should be able to give chesed to other people now. Torah is chesed. And as Hashem to empower us, a tremendous amount of chesed from Shemayim, that we should become the greatest people possible.